good. Don't go to that.
Okay, it's going.
Okay. To stop? Yeah. Okay. We're holding here in middle of Perek Beis. The Amud is Nun Aleph. And he brings the, let's go back to sort of recap a second the outer frame of the discussion. The outer frame of the discussion is a question of the Mile of Adam and the fact that a person has a part of himself that's above Teva, meaning something else, something that sort of stamps itself on Teva, and that makes a person what he is, and that's why he's above Teva. Now he's going to bring a Chazal, which is a very famous Chazal that sort of hits the crux of a lot of questions. It's on Nun Aleph. Ubemedrish. Shol Tunasufis Arasha. Tunasufis Arasha start up at the Rekiva. It says Rabbi Kiva actually in the Chazal, in the Medrish. So Tunasufis Arasha asked him, Eza Maisim Noim, Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Shal Basav Adam. He challenged him. He said, are what people do better, or is what Hashem does better? That's obviously a loaded question. Amaloi, so Rav Kiva answered him, Shal Basav Adam. Amaloi Tunasufis Arasha, I don't understand something he said. Ra'isa Shemayim Va'aretz, Yochel Adam Lasis Geitze Behen. I mean, can you try to make a Shemayim and Aretz? Las Vegas, they've done a little bit, but in those days it wasn't, nothing like it. Amar Rav Kiva, no. La'itayma li bidvorm shulamayla min abriya, shayin sholtim alav. Don't tell me things that are completely beyond the Briya. I want to stop a second. The Maharal is not going to explain this point, really, but I want to explain just the Chazal here. It's simply in light to what he's saying. Whenever we have these discussions of what's better, a person or a malach, what's better, what Hashem does or what people do, all of those type of discussions have to be qualified very, very clearly in the following way. There are, at a certain point, there are no discussions about a Kadosh Baruch Hu versus a person. That's a stupid discussion. Even a malach versus a person is not a smart discussion either, because malachim don't have ra in them, we have ra in them. But there's a little arena called this world. And in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a specific framework. And within that framework, we're entitled to ask, does a person of Bechira trump Kaviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yediyah or not? It's a very limited question. Are people or Malachim greater within the framework that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for Adam? There are no questions in absolute. This as an absolute vikuach would be rubbish. Is Maisa other better or Maisa Kadosh Baruch Hu? There is no such vikuach. But so that's what he tells him. Shemayim is not shayach to Adam. So that's not. We don't even have a discussion about it. But within this world, in the little bubble that we call our world, there is room for this and that. And in that world, which is more important, or which is adif, he says. So he tells him, Amalei. So I said, okay, so that's off. Lomate moilim. What about a bris? Amalei, he said, there's Davos Hashem. I knew that that's where you were leading to. Ve'olekachik down to your matilcha, shemaisib no'odom noim shakash parchu. I knew that's what you asked, and I answered you that what we create, what we accomplish is greater than Akash Baruch Kaviyachal. Heviloy Rabbi Akiva Shabalmulus Kos. Then Rabbi Akiva, to buttress his argument, brought him cake. Amalei turned to Sumsa Asha. In other words, basically what he told him was that you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes grain and wheat, and we make cake out of it, and that's much superior. So that was a second argument. Amalei turned to Sumsa Asha. So I asked him, Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reitze B'mila. If what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants is if Mila is what he wants, why doesn't he create us in Violet? Amar Rav Akiva, so Rav Akiva asked him, every single person is born quote unquote imperfect. If nobody cuts the umbilical cord, when you're born, then basically it's not going to be good. So there's almost a built-in imperfection in birth itself. So there's a chazal here, a vikuach, between Rabbi Akiva and Tuna Sufa Zerasha on the inyan of is Maisa Adam better or Maisa Shemai. The argument was Tuna Sufa Zerasha was knocking Mila because and because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be able to know that Mol, if that's the Tzuras Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have created that way, and that was the back and forth between it. And by the way, it's interesting, amongst the early people, whether the Greeks or the Romans, Mila was a point of contention. It was very, very, by the Greeks it was, I think, it disfigured the human body, but the Romans also had laws against giving a bris to someone who's not Jewish. I'm not sure why that was, but that will happen to be an issue. So now the Maral is going to explain the back and forth. Ubirze, ki turnus rufus ayasava, ki maisadam pchusim in maisa teva, bimasha teva poloiki, lekach omna shamila yoisi pchusim in arla, shi maisa teva shabal shemisperch, vila milo masi odom. Veishabla shaina davakach, ki maisa odom bamashu polo odom, shubal seichel, yoisi madregim in a teva, shuko homi bulvat. Okay, let's explain this, and because this is, in a sense, this is the crux of his point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that is perfect, but that perfect world, if the word perfect is limited, and let's explain in what way it's limited. Let's give an example. Let's say I'm a carpenter, and I build high-quality furniture. And I go to the lumber yard and I tell them I have an order from top-notch order. I'm trying to build a cabinet. I want the best quality lumber you have. And I want something that's a born bookcase. So, fine, the guy brings him. Whatever quality wood he brings, it doesn't look like a bookcase. It's wood. And the answer is, the best that the lumber produces is a raw material, and the carpenter gives it its tzura, its shape, and so on. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's teva is a perfect teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that he created is perfect. What does it mean it's perfect? It's like saying I have the highest quality lumber means it's not a bookcase. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perfectly self-contained world of teva. It's perfect in terms of teva. It can keep going on as far as we're concerned indefinitely. It keeps running itself back and forth, counterbalance and stuff like that. But the bria is a bria of teva. Ashabara lekim la'asis. Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world to put das and machshava into it. So just like the perfect body is something that is a perfect platform for the brain, and it's not sick, and it's healthy, and it's strong, and everything, but it doesn't replace the brain. It's a platform for the brain. The world, the teva of the world as teva, is the best that can be. It is not, in any sense, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted two pieces. He wanted a world that's a bubble of teva, and he wanted people that would stamp seichel on it. So, just like the best organization, if somebody's running a huge enterprise, the best organization is that the people of a certain lower echelon in the hierarchy of the society do what they're told to do, and don't come up with any ideas, and don't try to do it differently or better, but you tell them you want this ship to here, it's shipped to there, and the guy doesn't come back and say to you, I know you told me to ship to Chicago, but I think Denver's a much better market. And you want the people on top to think of new ideas and to use that corporation to accomplish something. If one or the other is not in line, it's not a very good situation. If every little clerk does his own thing, it's not nothing. And if the people on top just keep doing what they've always been done, it's also nothing. The tzura of the world, the perfection of the world, is teva. Teva means self-contained, unchanging, not going anyplace. And the Adam is the das and the seichel and the neshama to the bria, and his job is to put a stamp on it and so on. As a parenthetical remark, I think we might have spoken about last time, it's one of those conundrums when, you know, because people don't tend to think more subtly, when, for Chataeinu, Anachnu Maskirim Hayom, for those who read Voltaire and Candide, where he viciously makes fun of a Talmudic, a person who says this world is the best world possible, versus suffers. It was a book that sort of was the spitz of anti-religion about how could this be the best world? Look at all the suffering, the pain, and this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, if you have a Prosta cup and you think that this world is Gan Eden, boy, you're in for a mistake. It doesn't say it any place. This world is the best world for a person to realize his potential towards Gan Eden. So just like the best gym is not where you have a smooth recliner, and it's where you have the right equipment to work yourself hard so that you build up your body. The best world is a world where you work hard to build up your neshama. Ups, downs, rights, lefts, bafflement, ununderstood things, and so on. That's sort of a maimon muska to what he's saying. But in a bigger sense, this world is a world of teva, which means it doesn't have really purpose or anything other than teva locked in. And Adam puts a chesemis on it the way a carpenter would take wood and make a creation out of it. He showed him in nature itself, the world contains raw materials, raw ingredients, and you use it to make something out of it. So a very good cake is made out of the grain and the sugar and the eggs. Same thing here also. And if you think about it, if you even think of the marshal of the cakes, we don't imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these raw ingredients and we say, we're going to come up with a whole better set of raw ingredients. What we can do is we can take and add seichel to it and use and combine the textures and the flavors and the contents and so on to make something else. Next page, then base. Why? So, I mean, he gave already one example. So what's the question now? He showed him the cake and the grain and the cakes and so on. So what's the next one? Ki adayin chashav, ki afal pisha adam u'yoyse b'mayla, mashu poil adam al seichol. Even though, okay, you're telling me Adam is better. Mikol makoim en loyma shapoil atevav chisaren. It's one thing if you say the world has great ingredients. You have flour, you have grain, and you have sugar cane, and you have eggs and stuff, and man makes it better. But Arla is the pshat that Arla is mos. When we remove Arla, we're making a statement that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world has something that's mousa. The Chazal is called mos. V'mayuchafetz b'mil av Arla ra, imke lom alishem Hashem esvah sateva yotze ting me ishtoi mol. It's not enough, because even though we improved the world when we made cakes, but he was saying something is wrong with it. A few lines down. So he says, well, you see that the world carries in itself shortcomings. When a child is born, so what you see is that the world has no ashlama, and the person is being mashlim. So the second point is, not only can we make better things, but the world in itself falls short. Again, it falls short b'mechuven, so that we could add something, and then we add over here to be mashlim it. So the child born, where you have to cut the chevel atibur, the umbilical cord, that's a chaser. And Mila and Arla, we have to cut that. That's the second one. Ubemedrish oy the Chazal ed kol ma'ase sheis mebreishis tzrichas siacheres. Everything in the world needs some sort of processing. kein Chitim zirchen Litchoin, Achadl zirch lahamtik, Haturmer zirch lahamtik adka. By the way, I also just, again, you know, people look for different, I guess, Das Torah in, on different topics. One of the movements that is quasi-physical, quasi-ideological is the back-to-nature type of movement. So it's a movement that's been around for hundreds of years, ever since the world started refining itself. So Mela, somebody tells me, I don't know, whole wheat grain is better to eat than processed grain. If a person is coming with a medical taina, maybe, you know, probably. And I don't have there's no problem with that. I mean, if people are supposed to find what's good and what's right, that's not a problem. But there's an ideological overtone to it. It becomes a religion, not only back to nature. In as much as it gets that overtone of a religion, there's a hidden tapping into the same argument. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a perfect world. You're made it, you're religious, yes. And if he created wheat as wheat and potatoes, that must be perfect. And by cooking it or baking it or grinding it, you're destroying it and making it worse. It's got to be that way. And it's very hard because when somebody latches onto your frumkeit, you're in trouble. So it's mele medically, you could tell them. I mean, I know a person who ate potatoes kimadrua on that shita, but it's wrong. Chazal mefurish, you know, the Chazal tell us no. Everything in this world needs a tikkun. Kol meisish reishis. Here mefurish Chazal about a topic that at most we laugh at it, but it's wrong. The world was created in a way that is raw material and it requires input. You need tchina, lisha. Now, I have nothing to comment about the medical value of whole wheat versus not whole wheat. I'm not stupid. Obviously, whole wheat is probably much better, and less sugar is probably better, and v'chulu. But the religious part of it is wrong. The world was created with a tikkun for Adam to make. V'chol zem if they came poel ateva bala shloma ba'atzme la Adam. Sheyesh ba'asechus ala teva. Teva, when it comes in contrast with a person, becomes something not shalem. Let's describe the point that he's making here. And it helps address that issue of how can Kadosh Baruch Hu make something that's not perfect and so on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created different levels of world. And just like for the lumber guy, the highest quality boards is the ultimate perfection. When he walks into the woodworking shop, he realizes that it's only raw. When the guy finishes the cabinets, that's the ultimate perfection for the cabinet maker. When the interior decorator comes in and he sees a warehouse of bookcases, and he says, but the real chacham is how to put the bookcases in and how to integrate it with different colors and so on, that becomes a shleimus. And when somebody gets these bookcases in his house put in the way the interior decorator said, and they're empty, and he fills it with sfarim and uses it, he's moved it forward a notch. So it's not the pshat, it's imperfect in a bad sense. There are levels of world, so to speak. And everything has its own metzias, its own circle. It reaches a certain state of perfection. And when you bring it up to a higher matzav, therefore it becomes cheshiva. Adam sees the bria, vayarkita, everything is beautiful. He says, but one second. Everything here has a use. Everything needs to be applied to something. Everything needs to be put into its place. The du arz v'kifshua means that until you didn't need Adam to run the world. You leave a natural habitat in its an ecosystem. It runs itself. But Adam moves it towards a higher plane, and that becomes chshivus klapi the world underneath it. And the same way that we look up and we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see Torah, and we move things in that direction, that moves it to a higher plane. So the imperfection and the bad is not inherently. There's nothing bad with teva. There's nothing in teva. Grain is wonderful until Adam comes and says there's lechem to be made, and lechem is a malyusa. Amotzi lechem in aretz, and it's a malyusa of the grain and so on. Ulefika, call us in such ways, ain't as some of Adam. Compared to Adam, the world is lacking when Adam steps down and he brings a higher order of things to the table. Ulekach ain't the shayla of nivra tinik v'le mila, the shaykh al polateva, shu pol chasar. The problem with mila is not that inherently having an arla is bad, it's only vis-a-vis something else. Ve'ena v'madregas ha'shlam, next page, el Adam ha'sichli. Vilu nivra ha'adam b'shleimus, kashatzen beten imoi, imkein ha'adam tibi b'lvad. Had the person been created shalem, then it would be tibius thing. Ulekach nitla mila she'ashlamosim ha'shvi, kechol ha'shlamos adam alateva. L'cheina mila she'ashlamosim alateva, shkula k'nega kol ha'teira. I want to focus this sentence a minute because he's saying an awful lot over here. He's saying that had a person been born mahol, that would have been the teva, and that's not a shlemus. When we say to ourselves, and he's going to figure it out later a little bit, when we say that a person, the greatest perfection I can have for a person is that he be the one to create the perfection within the Bria. Anything in the Bria that would be born would be like that. Let's say by nature, we are all selfish by nature. Anyone who's had children growing up knows that children don't willingly give up toys and candies and anything else very much. Not the Abba, not the Ima. They're kind of possessive. And it takes quite a bit of coaxing and positive reinforcement and some negative reinforcement and so on to get them to be giving. Now, let's imagine our psychology wasn't wired that we give in the way we take, and a child naturally gives. Would that be perfection? No. That would be teva again. The perfection is that we were able to take something of a higher order, das, hakara, impose it on a lower order. In other words, flesh and blood like to take things, like to eat, like to absorb things. And when I take an amanchil, a seichel on it, meichel a seichel on it, that is called perfecting something. Had we been born that way, that would be teva. In other words, things are not inherently good if they are inherently good. Then it becomes value neutral. You know, anytime Shabbos is a milah because you need a special dasfit. Staying away from an electric outlet is not a value. It's valuable, but it's not a value because we naturally stay away from things that hurt. There's nothing little shlemus in the fact that I don't stick any things into the electric outlets. Because that's a teva. So it's not the pshat that if mila would have been given as part of teva, we would be born perfect, great. Then we wouldn't be born perfect because again, that would become the metzias, that would become the teva. And if there's no shinui, it's not going anyplace. I want to skim down a second because I want to get to a certain point. Yes. Well, the truth is, there have born, been, well...
A person's born, they
yes.
They can't walk, they don't know.
But there is a certain... Okay, so if you would cast a person to live for himself, he would develop... He would certainly develop walking type of things. Speaking... speaking is interesting. So speaking is an issue that's been raised by psychologists, and there are some studies of crackpots who locked up their kids. There are some have regressed, but I think they felt it's just a developing, it's like a seed developing into a plant. Yes?
Why does the mouth say about certain people that
in a world that it's natural to be oral, it's a simen that he's coming from someplace else. It's a simen that the person is the etzem from a different metzias. It's not because they're mohulim, they're good people. It's since this world has only this world is a world of Arla, somebody was injected in of a different nature. The mila, the bris mila that we make is the pshat is we want to be malbish, a certain teva of kedusha on a person. So that is a very, that's our avoida. A person is a nolad mol, his avoida is not to not to make a bris mila. I mean, the Torah's not bris is just because all the kavusha and so on. So he has to do something else. But it's not a shlemus in the person himself. The nolad mol is a simen that this is somebody who l'chatchila is starting out ahead of the gate. But it's a simen only because everybody else is an oral. If everybody else was to be a mohul, then it would be nothing. If everybody if was an old mole, then nobody would be a mole. Then there wouldn't be. Then mole would be meaningless. So they have a different avoda. They have a avoda further on. Their avoda goes someplace else. It's just like a person who was born with tremendous Maestra Bein or Shlomo HaMelech. So his avoda was from that point onwards. I want to see another nekuda here because it's not getting to something I wanted to talk about. So he says that vilanivra adam. So the person, he says, if the person would be born with shleimus betin imo, ikaram tivi bilvat. Again, it would be teva. Lefi. Let's skip down to his line. Asher roya la oilam asheish ba havaya behefsid asheinu balashlama. A world that's full of havaya and hefsid is roya for something that is not shalom. This is a world that's better not shalom, and b'meila, that's what it's. Ubefrat al adam asichli. Take a look in his haris in Rabbi Hazan's haris on 49. Pirush, he said, Ha'olam b'ashina. He quotes the Maral. Ki advarim asher b'mashleimus ein shinu behem. Things that are shalom don't have any shinu in it, don't have any capability of shinu in it. And therefore he says that the world had to be able to have shinu in it. It couldn't be shalom. I want to talk a little bit about this because it's a little bit nogea to the skufa and so on. So what he says is in a few places the Maral explains that something which is perfect never changes. Let's give an example, even sciences. Chemicals, the volatility of certain chemicals is because there's a perception, I mean, at least the current understanding is, that there are rings of electrons that have certain capabilities, and if it fills up a ring, there's no traffic going back and forth. If the less they're full, the more volatile they are in the attempt to try to fill up and not have any missing electrons on their rings and so on. And the theory keeps changing a bit, but I'll go on it. To the best of my knowledge, this is pretty much the picture of it. If a person is agitated and he's not content with himself psychologically, if a person is doing restless, something's bothering him. And when a person feels everything's in place, he stops. You sort of sit back, and that's it. The flux is a simen of something that's not a davar shalom. So teva has in itself a certain contentment because it sees itself as being complete. Adam comes in and says, "What are you talking about?" Just like a child when he comes into school the first day, he doesn't feel he's missing anything. That's why he's playing and everything's okay. And we tell him, look at how much there is to learn and you don't know this, you don't know this and this. That sort of upsets the apple cart and now he needs to be master himself. This vikuach was Rabbi Akiva entered the surface. But there are klal, especially in Agaritas, big machlokas, big vikuchim, usually have a shaychas to the Tana or a Meira that's mispakeach. You find sometimes in Chazal, when you have one member of a Tana and a Meira, a Meira usually, it'll have his name will be the same as the member. There are also some Regadat Law, and you come across somewhere every so often when they mention somebody, it'll be the same name, Kilo. This is the person, this is the member that we say over. But certainly in Vikuchim of this nature, Rabbi Akiva, there were two facets of Rabbi Akiva that were extraordinary. One was Rabbi Akiva himself. Rabbi Akiva himself was his muscle for himself was a stone that the water wore down. In other words, there's nothing more chaymer than a stone. Very few things are as unchanging as a stone. Diamonds are forever. Stones stay, and that's it. And something imposed a tzura on a piece of rock that was an Akiva and made him into Rebbe Akiva. That was mitzadism. In terms, Rebbe Akiva lived through the Churban. Rebbe Akiva was one of the Sarugi Malchus. Rebbe Akiva was a Tan of the Churban, like the Gemara in Makkos. I want to learn up the Gemara a minute. The famous, very famous Gemara, you've heard it umpteen times at Siyumim and these days. I want to learn it up a little bit. You have the Maisa where you have Rebbe Akiva was walking. Hamachas earlier Shalayim Kivin Shigil Arat Seifim Korah Big Dehem Kivin Shigil Arbayis or Shul Shatmeis Kachar Kadoshim. They saw Shul coming out of the base Kachar Kadoshim. Fax and Vixen are usually where there's Churban. They don't hang around in inhabited places. His Shul and Boichen or Kiva Mitzachik. Omer Bei Mata Mitzachik Omer Bei Mata Boichen. So back and forth, they said, have we not cried? This is a place that's Kodesh Kedoshim. There's a shul there. Vazorkov, Muzah Shul, Holchem Alifkim. On the Lekachim Mitzachik, that's how I'm living. The Chsiv, it says, Vo'idoli Eidim Nemanim. I am going to bring two witnesses to bear testimony on the Beis Hamikdash, on the Geula. Esuriah Koyin, Veschayim Ben Brechia. What's in your Uriah Zoschaya? Uriah Mikdash Rishon, Zoschayim Ben Yasheni. Ella, Tola Kosev Nevosa Shaschayin Rosa Shal Uriah. Buria Ksiv Lachayim Begalachim Tzian Sarah Techarish. Beschay Ksiv Ayeshus Kenes Kenes Chayes Shalayim. Asher Ischayim Rosa Shal Uriah. Asher Ischayim Rosa Shal Uriah. Asher Ischayim Rosa Shal Uriah. Bidur Asher Ischayim Eschaya. Om Lakiv Rechton Akiv Rechton. Very famous Gemara, and so on. I have two pieces, two Nekudas I want to understand. First of all, he says, I brought Vaida Shnei Eidim. I'm going to have two Eidim Nemanim. But either the Eidim Nemanim. When you have two Eidim, you know, you need two Eidim for to be Nemanim. They have to be saying the same thing. I mean, you know, two Eidim means they would both be saying the same message. How do you have two Eidim where one is saying one thing, one is saying another thing? Secondly, he says, you know, you need two Eidim. Akash Baruch Hu said, I'm going to have two Eidim. What's wrong with 1-8? You know, what did he learn up in this maima? That I wasn't sure until this was Mekayim. This is Mekayim and so on. I mean, once this aid is Mekayim, this aid is Mekayim. What does it mean? What do the words mean? I think he's Meramez. I think this Inyan is what he's explaining over here. Where it's not Shayach Churban. It's not Shaykh Binyan. In other words, anything. Let's give a mashal. If let's say I grow plants, and it's nice, I have plants, so on and so forth. But the problem is bugs keep eating it. They you forget to water it a day, they wilt. Other Marian Bishan, animals come and nibble on it. I used to live in the city all my life, so there were no plants and no animals, nothing. Now I live in the suburbs, so I discovered that together with a backyard comes a whole host of makas senexu b'teira from Arba and Kinim and everything. So a guy says, you know what? I have a good idea. I'll get plastic flowers, and like over there, nothing. They don't need watering. They don't need anything. We're not terribly happy with plastic flowers. Why? Because what we admire about flowers, besides their essence, color, and so on and so forth, is certain koyach atzmicha. The fact that it's alive, it grows, it gives fruits, it brings out flowers. It's not what they are by Sheor Sham. The koyach atzmicha is what intrigues us in it, and what makes it something very special to us. The klal is that which can't be destroyed can't grow. And that which can grow can be destroyed. They go together. And they are two sides of the same coin. Where something has reached a certain shleimus, and not the plastic about shleimus, but once something is set, it has no up and no down, and it has no havaya, no hefsid. Those things that have in themselves the ability to go in either way, there there's a you know, it's a koyach of toiv is only shayach when there's a certain background of ra. There's a famous everybody says about Ma'aseh of the Goyen. It's Kimat Mefurish in the Ramla and the Brisa. The famous Ma'aseh that they came at the Torah in front of the Goyen, and there was some sense there. The Yonim had smelled a rat, but they couldn't shake the Edus. The Edus were really great. And then after the Goyen heard Edus, he said the Shakronim and whatever. They asked him, "How do you know?" So he said, "The Mishnah says that you check both Edus." If what they're saying is similar, then you know that they're right. So the Pashto Pshat in the Mishnah is, the Brisa is, that they have to be close enough, not dissimilar, as opposed to dissimilar. The Goyen says it's similar as opposed to exactly the same. No two people ever saw a story exactly the same. And if two people can say the same thing syllable by syllable, then they both taught themselves a little ditty. It's not aid, it's not experience. Experiences are inherently different. And b'meila, that's a very famous passage. And b'meila is k'matim furish. Mechuvanim means not exact. The word mechuvanim literally means directed in the same direction. They both are pointing the same direction. So if the story that comes out from both of them is that so-and-so is money, so-and-so, that's it. That's over here. Over here, the pshat is Rabbi Akiva deheard that a bias that can become charev is a bias that can become nivne. Lamashal, let's give an example. Let's go back to the rock and to this plant. Rocks tend to stand where they are and don't go very much any place. If you move a rock out of its place, then the rock is gone for good. A plant is susceptible to all sorts of marin bishin, and like we said, but a plant can regrow, and a plant can regenerate itself and keep growing. The two edus were from two separate angles. In other words, Rabbi Akiva wasn't. I mean, we're not talking about do we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not. Rabbi Akiva was saying, as long as it's not possible to be machrev the bias, then it's not possible to build a bias. It's meaningless. It's a thing. It's a stone. It's something that's teva. It stays that way until something moves it out of its place. And therefore, when it's charev, there's a chazaka. Chazaka that if it's not, there's a cheskes mikara that if it's there, it's probably still there. And as a chazak, if it's not there anymore, then it's not there anymore. Rabbi Akiva said, the fact that the bias is a living entity, it waxes and wanes with people, with Klal Yisrael, is what makes it significant. The Kuzari, who speaks about things in Klal Yisrael, the Muslim, and our religions, their religions, has a very, very powerful piece where the Melech HaKuzim asked the Chava about Klal Yisrael's situation today, and he says, you know, how can you call yourself a nation? If you tell me Beis HaMikdash is the heart of the nation and it's Neshama, basically you're a corpse. And the Chava answers the Kuzari, you don't even begin to know how bad it is. He says, not only are we a headless corpse, our limbs are strewn all over the place. We're much worse off. But he says, but Melech HaGuzar, remember one thing. He said, the tiniest speck of a living organism, you know, if you ask a child, if you take a splinter of wood and ask him, or a potted plant, and ask him which is more plant-like, this splinter of wood or this, so looks at the potted plant and says, that's it. The truth is, any splinter of wood could possibly reconstruct the entire plant. As long as you still have some DNA material, it could be coaxed back into it again. A plastic plant will never grow. It'll never become a plant. So he says, Melech HaKuzarim, he says, they built imitations of a Heichel, but he said, nobody ever had a living God. These are dead, Madame Tussauds, lifelike replicas. They have temples, they have churches, they have worship, they have everything but life in it. And then he describes the difference between the life of this and life of that. And he says, what does it mean this is life? He says, Hashem never spoke in any of those places. There never was Nevuah Ruach HaKodesh, that's one half. And he says, and they were never destroyed because of their sins. They are destroyed for natural, historical phenomena. Small nations, tough, conquers big nation, conquers many nations, becomes fat and sluggish, becomes, you know, old, new young nation conquers it, wipes it off the map. That's a natural cycle. Rome's temples weren't destroyed because of Tiberius. They did. They were destroyed because Rome just, its time came and it fell off like a slug. You know, just nothing left of it because it was fat and its time is it come and gone. Klal Yisrael's Beis Hamikdash was charev because of Tiberius, so it's going to be built because of mitzvahs. It's hainu hach. That, like it says over here, the world of teva is inert, lifeless, and just like when I have something that can't corrode, also means I can't do much with it. You know, it's if it's non-corrosive, and that's why people don't like people things that are the perfect for micas aren't great sellers. I mean, they don't. Then people don't say, well, this is stainless steel sinks is fantastic because it doesn't say nothing. It's lifeless because it's a stainless steel sink. It's good for a yeshiva. It's not the thing you want in your house because it doesn't have any. It's just a chunk of thing. The thing that we appreciate the sense of it is that it has some sort of lifelike quality to it. It includes both ends to it, and that's what he says over here. It includes hefset and it includes havaya. If a person, and it's another kinet on the point we said before, if we would not find imperfection in this world, then we couldn't find perfection either. Perfection, improvement is there when there's a perception of chisaron. The two sides to one coin. A world that has imperfection to it can be elevated and perfected. A world that's frozen and is perfect doesn't have any room for perfection. So that's what he says over here. I have two edus, meaning both of these are coming from different angles and they're both saying the same thing. When you tell me that a kotche kadashim can become charev, shalom holchubo, because the life has gone out of it, then we know that it's possible for it to regenerate again, because it's a quote unquote a living God, meaning there's a responsiveness to what's going on. If it's inert and lifeless, and it wouldn't become charev because of eris, it wouldn't become built because of mitzvahs. So in a big picture, the Klal Yisrael's, just like I always tell over, I was once or many times. So the root canal, and the first time the doctor takes you still use the old equipment, took a hot thing and put it on the tooth to say, do you have any pain? He said, no. He took an ice cold thing, do you have any pain? No. So I was feeling good. I passed the test, 2 for 2. I said, it can't be better than that. He said, okay, the news is your tooth is dead. And that's why, and I'm $1,200 richer, and you said that's, you know, burial expenses are going to be $1,200. But there's a point to it. If it's dead, it's dead. There's not going to be a living thing can feel pain to it. A dead thing can't. But the not feeling the pain is not a simon. It's shlemus in the sense of being lifeless. It's not going anyplace. And therefore, the chelik of nechama in the world of churban is that Chayisol is a living organism. Chatoyim very much affected. Because it's neshama sensitive, Klal Yisrael. Anything that we do that's not good is detrimental to us. And the nechama that is that no matter how far we've been splintered apart and been destroyed, as long as we're living, we come back again. Rabbi Akiva's eye was that wherever you see there's room for churban, for chisaron, there's room for shleimus. The two go together. It's a Rakiva's cook, it's a Rakiva's perspective when he has his cook on his rufus, He told him Shleimus is not a frozen world ready to eat as is. Shleimus is a world that Adam perceives imperfection and ability to change. That's Torah. And in the perspective of Doros, a world that becomes hard because of Averis becomes built because of it. Shbazak Hashem to get together with the Chorm to the Gula Shleim. Yes, question. Because what it does is, let's go with the argument. If this was a classic English American Protestant argument. If God wanted you to be rich and me to be less wealthy than I am, he would have made you wealthier and me less wealthy. Now the Kashmir made me very wealthy, you not so wealthy. No tzedakah. It's good the way it is. You're questioning God. Do you think that God had any reason not? Or I have a great appetite for dvarim asurim. I mean, if Hashem would think it's wrong, would you think he would have created me? Since a person who's a noif is bad, would Akash Baruch created me a passion for neifa? I mean, it becomes justifying the status quo is really vicious. I mean, yes. Because just like when somebody pinches that nerve, when you're frostbitten, the first stab of pain is painful, but for somebody who understands it with seichel says, oh my gosh, it's still alive. I thought I lost that one. No, it's a perspective. Rabbi Akiva was a deeper perspective. It takes a big perspective that a person should see something which is very difficult and be able to see it in its perfection. It's not push it. I mean, you can't just say these are the type of things that they're wrong if you just say them off the cuff. If a person comes over to an oval and pats him on his back and says, don't worry, Hashem knows what he's doing, I'm sure it's all for the good, you know, mach l'chaim and be merry. My Shver Zuchan Evracha was very sharp-witted, and he didn't like people who were kind of, overtly from on other people's cheshem. So he had a neighbor, he was just this very chashu person of Truk, they were very good friends, very sharp, and very big Malcham. But my Shver, for those who know my Shver, whatever, so I was once in Shmuel's house, and it was Matzah Shabbos. We were supposed to leave, and there was a dog outside the door that looked like it had rabies. It was weird, like sitting there smoking. I don't know. Well, it was not. There are very few dogs around here, and we're scared to walk out, so we hold up and we know what to do. So he lived right on top, so he yells down, "Reinish, don't worry about it." So That was part of my shver. So my shver slipped out the door, egged the dog up to his apartment, and then he started telling him, "Ah, the morcha, don't worry, he refed the same thing. To say these types of things, you know, you can't. You have to be on a madrega. It can't be that you're copping out on the feeling of the tsar and so on. There was somebody, I shouldn't go off this far, but there was a minig by Chassidim in Europe to make light of Tisha B'Av. The kind of, they would throw these, the Mishmur speaks about it, they were called Baralach. I still remember in the Chassidish Bangor comes, like these little green sticky things you throw on people, it's very hard to get them off. So, sort of a thorny type of little balls. And that was like a big game to play. There was a reason for it. People in Europe had a very hard life. They were depressed out of their minds. And another inch of depression for many people would have been sort of a real yush. My life was horrible and difficult. There was an inyan that on Tisha B'Av not to let it go all the way. I mean, so in that context, so a person is sitting Tisha B'Av. He hasn't had what to eat in 3-4 days. He has holes in his clothing. He has 3 daughters waiting to get married, and he lives in a hovel someplace. And you're gonna throw Tisha B'Av, and also, so it made sense, So it's right in that context. When Baruch Hashem, a person sitting in a $250 million bungalow with 3 cars parked outside, and planning his next vacation someplace else, and then he doesn't want to private tishuva because he doesn't get depressed. Atzvus is not so good. The right thing to tell him is a little atzvus wouldn't hurt. You know, a little bit remembering that there's still a fourth car missing. That's not all cars are there. It's helpful. You know, it's a thing that was right in its context. And wrong when it's going to stop. And all these in Yanim, first has to know where am I holding? What do I need now? Is the pshat that I'm very down and I'm really depressed? This is another thing to depress me. Will just tell me to give every up. What the pshat is? Fuck out. You know, I need to know that there is a churban. We're missing so much. Life is good, but. You know, we're missing so much and so on and so forth. Each kufit, each okay.